Good afternoon, everyone. It is 3 p.m. on February 9th, 2023. Roll call, please.
Chris?
Here.
Jim?
Here.
Warren?
Yes, here.
Josie? Wolf?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes, I'm here.
Haley? Samantha?
Here.
Tom?
Yes.
Okay. Is that Tom?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so in King Cole, who do we have?
We have myself, Chris, Jackie, and Seward Jr.
Okay. Cole Bay? Nelson Lagoon?
Just me, Sam.
Okay, Sam. False pass?
That's just me.
Thank you. Standpoint, we have Beverly, Alvin, Paul, Jim. Hackettan. Anchorage.
Yes, Mayor, I expect myself, Annie, Glenora, Talia, Ernie, Charlotte, Jennifer Nelson with GCI, Laura, and then we have Warren and Brenda.
Thank you. Okay. We need a motion to adopt the agenda.
This is Chris. I make a motion.
Thank you, Chris. Second?
Warren, second.
Thank you, Warren. Any comments or questions on the agenda? Hearing none, agenda will stand as presented. Any public comment at this time on agenda item? Okay. Anyone feel like they have a conflict of interest? This would be a good time. Okay, so we have GCI, Pollutions Update. Jennifer is there to present this, so I will turn the floor over to her.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Hi, everybody. Jen Nelson here to provide an update on our AU Pollutions Fiber Project. Happy to report that the community of Onalaska is up and connected, and we have more customers coming online every day. About a third of everybody up now. What we're hearing is that customers are really enjoying the speeds, usage, reliability, and then the pricing. Our plans that will be offered through this project are exactly what we offer here in Anchorage. So what you would pay, what I pay here at my house in Anchorage, is what everybody in Onalaska is paying and the plans that they receive too. The wireless network is currently undergoing upgrades in Onalaska as well, and that kind of cadence of how we roll this out will happen in all of the other communities. Our goal was to have Accutan on the same time as Onalaska came on. We had them built in the schedule to have the work done while the crews were in Onalaska, just to get over to Accutan and do the work there. We've had some delays with leasing and permitting, so we're still working with the City of Accutan and Trident on some leasing and hope to get all of the permits wrapped up so that construction can start there. We have a really kind of a close timeline to get Accutan completed because work is set to start in King Cove and Sandpoint on April 1st. So next month, there'll be crews of people coming out to get kind of the prep work, meet with the community. Our team met with the city governments, both in King Cove and Sandpoint last week, met with the public works crew on both sides, really coordinating with them on, you know, before we start digging, working to meet on whatever cadence they want to meet. And our crews meet every morning before they start. Our guys offered the public works people to meet. They know what they're going to do each day. And on Alaska, they preferred to meet weekly. So whatever works best for the city crew, just really to have everybody work in lockstep and partnership as we start digging in the ground and laying that fiber to the home network. Materials have started shipping to both the communities of King Cove and Sandpoint. And our goal is to have those complete, those two communities wrapped up and online by the end of this year. So by December, every home, business, and then school and healthcare facilities will be connected and online. With Cold Bay and False Pass, we recently received, I think I was here last time and reported on that, a tribal broadband connectivity program grant to add six additional communities to the project. So we've engaged with the NTIA, and that granting process has started. The environmental stuff is being done, and the engineering and design work is being done. So there is a branching unit already in place on the mainline cable for False Pass. So we're not going to have to take the whole thing down, it'll be pretty easy. It's just to plug into that branching unit. Cold Bay will be served out of the King Cove landing station. So the fiber will, the design is to come out of King Cove and into Cold Bay. It'd be really nice if we could run it alongside of a road, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there. It'd be a lot easier to go that route than under the water. and then the plans are the same for both those, the communities of Cold Bay and False Pass, fiber to every home build. So it'll be the latest and greatest technology that we'll put in the ground. Again, same plans and pricing. A little bit about the work that will be done in King Cove and Sandpoint, and then in the other communities to follow. So they'll trench a main line and put conduit in the ground. The city of King Cove has informed us they might have some conduit there, so they're starting that conversation. And if we don't have to dig, we don't want to dig. It would be way easier just to blow the fiber through existing conduit, so we'll do that where we can. But then once they have the main line done, then they kind of spider out to the homes and businesses. There'll be a lot of outreach that'll be done before that, after the main line and before it goes to homes, because we will need permission from the landowners/homeowners to come up to the building. With that permission, that does not obligate you to buy service, and there is no cost to do that. So we really want to get every home wired while our crews are there to be really efficient with their time. If we end up skipping a house and then you want service, it might delay being able to turn that up if the wiring isn't brought right to the side of the house. So when we get the permission, it's brought right to the side of the house. There's some internal wiring that needs to be done. They test and the light levels back to the cable landing station. It flags our system that address is serviceable. You get your unit, plug it in, turn it on, and you now have 2 gigabit speeds of wireless broadband in your home. So, and then, as I mentioned, on Alaska's their wireless network, the mobile wireless network is being upgraded. That will happen in King Cove and Sandpoint 2, but it'll be after they get this construction done of getting every home connected, and then they'll get those wireless sites turned over to the fiber backbone. And then once those sites are connected to that fiber backbone, it allows us to bring urban level self-service like we have here to those communities as well. So no timelines yet on exactly when that will be, but what it will enable is a 5G level experience with us putting that 5G equipment out there. So lots of stuff happening. There'll be a lot of activity from April through probably October in both the communities of King Cove and Sandpoint. They're going to have 2 separate crews that will work in each community simultaneously, so we don't have to arm wrestle over who's going to be first. And then once those communities are are completed, they'll move up to Larsen Bay and Chignik Bay, and then looking at Cold Bay and False Pass 2024 to 2026. So we're not quite sure where they'll go, but after completing Onalaska, we're getting pretty good at this, and I think we'll, our processes and our crews will continue to get better, and we're just going to hammer through them as fast as they can to get everybody turned up. Any questions?
Yeah, for King Cove, would you be going up to the airport at all?
That I need to. We sent them back to the drawing board to look at the designs. The goal was to connect every home. So at this point, it would probably stop where the homes, as far as the homes are.
Okay, that'll be up Fort Ballard Lake up there.
That's yeah.
The I was just thinking, like, if they wanted to do an upgrade on their FAA equipment at mm-hmm. King Cove, it would be faster to have fiber than what they have now.
Yeah, and I'll bring that. That came up in our conversations with the city crew as well. So they were taking back and looking at the designs to see what it would do and, you know, additional cost, but then how we manage that with, you know, if the FAA wants it, then it'd be easy to do while the crew is there.
But this is based on just, like, residents only?
Correct.
If that's a pretty critical part of King Cove up at the airport? And our hydro systems, there is a shack up there that if we were to upgrade our water system that's in the plan now to do, to have the fiber up there to make our, to design a new computer system, have it done with fiber, probably would be a heck of a lot better than what we have.
Yeah. I'll have our project manager get in touch with, maybe we'll contact with the city again and,
uh-huh,
and see what that looks like. They don't know what they don't.
I know, but like, King Cove is like city limits. You know that goes all
right.
The way down to the old hovercraft site. So the airport is like a heartbeat of King Cove, just as well as the port.
Yeah. And in the conversation we had with the city of Sandpoint too, it was like, okay, it's important that the harbor gets connected. And then I'll take that back, too, to have them look at what it would take to get to service, like, the hydro facility or something.
So you're putting in the whole new infrastructure, and then the next year, say, Interior pulls the plug or something on their satellite system, so then airport people will be shut off.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Yeah, that's definitely something to consider. I mean, we still will maintain backup satellite capability on our own, but that is not what they're being served with now. So, yeah.
Yeah,
no, thank you. That's good stuff. I'll take that back to the team for sure.
So they're doing the fiber off training in Fairbanks next month?
Splicing training? I'm not familiar with it, but
I don't know if they're gonna. Are you guys gonna maybe train people in the community?
We have a rural operations crew that works throughout rural Alaska, and we've just got some folks in on Alaska, but so they're looking at staffing. But yes, there's definitely a shortage of technical people with those capabilities just across the state in general. So it's a great opportunity.
20 or 40 is going to be in this first class. It's
good to know.
So they're starting, I want to say this month, but it might be next month. The application might be this month. And then you start next month. You have to go to Fairbanks.
Yeah, there's definitely a need for that. Skill set.
So that's where they're starting, and then they'll go up to training from there.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be an interesting thing.
Yeah, for sure. Good point.
I'm so excited. I just like, give me a movie and a clip.
Paul has a question for you.
Yeah, hi Jennifer. The cable repair that was done underwater, that went, I haven't read much about that, but everything went fine. Was that as advertised or no unusual problems?
No, yeah, that was, you know, it's pretty rare that we have to deploy our repair ship, but we do keep that repair ship on standby 24/7, 365 days a year, and it's in Vancouver. And yeah, it went smoothly. It took the response time is about 10 days, and most of that's travel time to get to the site. Once they got to the site, the repair work happened pretty quickly, and everything came right back online after that. So we don't like to do that kind of work, but we get pretty efficient and can get it done pretty quickly if we need to.
Okay, then I think you have the wrong date, too. You probably want to start April 2nd at some point, because no one's going to believe you if you say April 1st.
Good point.
No
April Fools.
This is something you're going to be really proud of. I mean, people talked about this when you guys were in school. That's a line for me, Christian. It doesn't work like that, though.
Yeah, I always need that road.
Yeah, that's what I said. If I could run that fiber alongside of that road, that gets done twice as fast. But yeah, no, it is super duper exciting. It's been great to be part of the team to bring this much needed infrastructure to the home region. So
if you were to throw that out to the feds that we need the easement.
Yeah. We'll start with the FAA and the weather cam, and then we'll just keep working our way down.
Easement along, that might even help. The fire going in as the road was finished.
Well, and it's, you know, being partially funded through federal grant dollars, so. Yeah. Well, thank you all for all of your support and that the borough has provided assembly and administration and always being there to help us out to make sure that this happens. So we'll continue to keep you all updated as we move along, and hopefully the scope will be more clear in terms of a timeline for Cold Bay and False Pass. So excited to add those two.
Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. Good update. Everybody stay informed. We'll keep working with you, so we're here if you need us.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Are the kids playing again?
Yeah, they're at a tournament up at Grace. King Cole was supposed to go home today.
Okay, we're going to recess the assembly meeting and call the plotting board to order, and I need a motion to bring resolution 2301 to the floor.
Motion to recess might be.
We don't need one.
You don't need one to recess?
No.
Okay.
So, anyway, but since we're recessed and the planning board's been called to order, so I need a motion now for resolution 2301.
Warren, make motion.
Thank you, Warren.
I'll second this resolution.
Thank you. I'll turn the floor over to Ernie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, Platting Board Resolution 2301 is a resolution of the Platting Board approving a plat of U.S. Survey Number 6429, creating lots 1A and 1B. In your packet is the resolution, the proposed plat, technical drawing for the project that would follow, an executive summary of the project, and then a resolution from the Nelson Lagoon Village. Going through the resolution, of course, when there is no planning commission to meet, the assembly meets as the platting board, and the borough is the platting authority for Nelson Lagoon, and the Tribal Council of Nelson Lagoon and the Electrical Cooperative, working with APICTA, are looking to upgrade the electrical system, and Stassel Engineering, working with CRW, are assisting in these upgrades. And this plat takes a little piece of what APICTA's lot is, and it's just big enough for the power plant. And hopefully that you will approve this plat. We kind of went through this through the workshop, but the executive summary is a executive summary of a document, and then the resolution is from the village council, I guess, and it's kind of a done deal. All the dates in the executive summary will be forwarded. It was written a year ago, and so the dates are wrong, but the project in its otherwise is as it is stated. So that's it in a nutshell. I can answer questions.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor. Ernie, just to refresh our memory, none of this land has ever been borough land, or it isn't now, of course, but there's no borough land involved in this resolution.
No, that's correct. It's owned by a PICTA, and a PICTA will get some heat to some of their buildings from the power plant. I believe it used to be privately owned, but it's owned by a PICTA now, and this kind of is their contribution to the project for the electrical system upgrades.
And then one quick question. I'm not sure who the president of the Nelson Lagoon Tribal Council is now.
I have two names of leadership, and one is for the cooperative, electrical cooperative, one is for the council. Bobby McNeely is one of them, and Angela Johnson is the other one, and maybe Sam can help me out, but those are the leadership names I have, and I can't remember which is which.
Yeah, Sam, here. Angela Johnson is the president of the Tribal Council, and Bobby McNeely is the president of the corporation.
Oh, of the corporation. Thank you.
Okay. Other questions or comments for Ernie? Hearing none. You call the question on the motion, please.
Brenda?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Bailey? Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So at this time, I'll adjourn the planning board. Thank you, everyone. And we'll bring the regular meeting back out of recess. And we were down to assembly minutes. So I need a motion and a second to bring the minutes of January 12th to the floor.
Ms. Brenda, I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Brenda. I need a second.
Second, Warren.
Chris, second.
Thank you, Warren. Okay, does anybody have any corrections or additions to the January 12th minute? Hearing none. If there's no objections, the minutes will stand as presented. Okay, thank you. We need a motion and a second to bring the financial report to the floor.
I'll make a motion, Mrs. Josie.
Thank you, Josie.
I'll second, Mrs. Brenda.
Thank you, Brenda. Annie.
Yes, Mayor, I'll second assembly. In the packet are the December 2022 financials. This is 6 months into our fiscal year. Just a few items to bring to your attention. One is the raw fish tax. So in December 2022, we received $255,000 in fish tax revenue. This is about 121% over the five-year average, which is great news. And then our year-to-date amount is at about $2.8 million, which is 117% of the five-year average. So we are doing well at the moment for that. Another item is just R01201, which is interest revenue. This revenue captures the AMLIP interest rates and the AEB operating fund, and that came in at $98,000. So that's a really good spot right now to have our money in, because it's bringing in a lot more revenue than if it was in the bank account, like a checking account or something of that nature. Other than that, like I said, we're 6 months in, so the year-to-date budget should be approximately 50%. There are a few line items that are over. This is largely with travel in almost every department. With COVID now not in effect, we are traveling more, so we will be adjusting those rates at the end of the fiscal year and taking that into consideration for FY24. With that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Questions on the finances? Paul?
Yeah. Thank you, Annie. You mentioned interest revenue, and I'm looking at the on the first page where it has the general fund revenues. Is that what you were referring to, or was there a different? I wasn't following the numbers exactly.
Yeah, that's the one I'm referencing, was that one, and there is another interest revenue for the permanent fund, but that fluctuates greatly, and that's further in the budget. But the one I was talking about was on the first page.
Okay, and so just a quick follow-up on that first page, first item, it's at $98,000. What can we expect the rest of the year, a month to month, on that line item?
It's hard to say because the rates do fluctuate, but I anticipate it being roughly around the same number every month.
Okay. Thank you.
Other comments or questions?
Here.
Yeah, you're on. You. Go ahead.
Warren here, Elvin.
Go ahead, Warren.
During the workshop, Annie mentioned about COVID's over now, we're traveling more, and mid-year, can we do like a mid-year budget review or anything so you can adjust it for like if we're going to travel more for the rest of the year?
We just did a mid-year budget, so I think
okay.
I would just adjust it at the end of the fiscal year.
Okay, so that's been taken care of already for travel adjustments?
No, it didn't. It just took one department's travel into consideration, but I think we can just adjust.
That was like for the resource department?
Communications.
Oh, communications, yeah. Okay. Okay, I noticed that too, at 149%.
Yeah, so we'll make that adjustment.
Okay, that's what kind of brought the question up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Other comments, questions?
Paul? Later on, we're going to talk about that school treasury, and that would require some changes in our budget here, or how is that going to work out if we pass that ordinance?
No, Mayor, back someone member Grenholt, that does not change the financials at all.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Question on the motion?
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. So we have the investment report, and I think, Annie, you may have some comments on this.
Yes, Mayor Spreckensidley. So in the packet is the account statement period ending December 31st, 2022. I just wanted to let you know that I did look at the balance of the permanent fund earlier this morning, and it is actually at about $45 million rather than the $43 million. So it just shows how much the account is fluctuating based off the what's occurring in the market. So I just wanted to let you guys know that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So if anyone has any comments on the investment report, excuse me. Okay. Hearing none. We do not have a consent agenda or public hearings, but we do have two ordinances. So, excuse me, we need a motion to introduce Ordinance 2302, motion to schedule for public hearing.
So move, Warren.
Thank you, Warren. I need a second.
I'll second, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, I second the assembly. I am going to discuss both ordinances, Ordinance 2302, which delegates to the Aleutians Borough School District, or I'm sorry, the school board, the responsibility of a centralized treasury, and Ordinance 2303, which amends Title VI, Chapter 6.04, Section 6.04060 of the Aleutians Borough Code of Ordinances. So per Alaska statute in Title 14, there is a relationship between the borough school district and the borough in regards to finances and buildings. Subsection states that the borough assembly may by ordinance require that all school money be deposited in a centralized treasury with all of the borough money. The borough administrator shall have the custody of, invest, and manage all money in the centralized treasury. However, the borough assembly, with the consent of the borough school board, may by ordinance delegate to the borough school board the responsibility of a centralized treasury. Therefore, it's my understanding that in 1988-1989, the Borough Assembly approved Ordinance 89-7, establishing Section 6.04060 of the Borough Code, which states, there is established the Borough Centralized Treasury. All municipal funds received by the Borough, its school district, departments, or other agencies of the Borough shall be deposited in the Borough Centralized Treasury. Therefore, the Borough set up the school district's checking, payroll, and accounts payable accounts, which is under the Borough's umbrella. Borough Administration and Finance have met with the school district, both the business manager, Dave Nielsen, and we've discussed this with Jack Walsh, the interim superintendent, and it was agreed that we should consider decoupling the accounts. We believe it was originally structured this way due to Alaska statute, as outlined above, and for investment reasons when the school district formed. The investment problem no longer exists. The current structure creates problems during the borough's annual audits, as it distorts the borough's cash on the balance sheet and makes it look like the borough owes the school district money. It also prevents the school district being able to make financial decisions within their accounts without approval from the borough finance director. One of the requirements in Alaska statute to separate the accounts was to receive consent from the borough school board to delegate the school board the responsibility of a centralized treasury. On January 20th, the school board approved Resolution 2301, authorizing the borough's consent to delegate to the centralized treasury. That resolution is in the packet for your review. Therefore, this requirement has been met. The other requirements the borough assembly will need to do include, one, passing an ordinance delegating to the borough school board the responsibility of a centralized treasury, which is outlined in Ordinance 2302, and to pass an ordinance amending Section 6.04060 of the borough code. It just takes out the language, it's school district, from it, and that's outlined in Ordinance 2303. If approved, the change will become effective on June 30th, 2023, with the new financial structure effective on July 1, 2023, which is the beginning of our FY 2024 fiscal year. Our administration finance will work with the school and key banks in the accounts. Once the change occurs, the school district will continue to follow the proper principles of accounting and will submit the school budget for the following school year for approval as allowed out statute. So with that, if there's any questions, please.
Okay. Thank you, Annie. Assembly, do you have any questions for Annie on this particular order? Paul?
Yes. Oops, somebody just hung up. But, If this ordinance passes at the next meeting, does that require the school to change bank accounts or change banks? Or what will the school do to comply with this?
Yes, Mayor, I'll correct Assemblymember Grenholt. No, it will basically just transfer the account to their name. So right now it's under our tax ID number, and Jackie, please interrupt if I'm getting this wrong, but I think it'll just transfer the account to them.
questions? Hearing none, call the question on the motion to schedule for public hearing.
Josie? Josie? Jim?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Daily there? Okay, thank you. So, we need a motion, introduction motion on ordinance 2303, amending Title 6, Chapter 6.04, Section 6.04.060 of the Aleutian Chief Borough Code of Ordinances. The motion is to schedule for public hearing.
This is Brenda. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Brenda. Second?
I'll second it, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Annie, do you have anything to add to this one? I know you covered everything in the first motion.
No, I have nothing else to add. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone have any questions for Annie on this introduction? Hearing none. Question on the motion to schedule for public hearing?
Warren?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Tom? Tom?
Okay, thank you. Before us, we have Resolution 23-36, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with CoreData LLC for software application and website development services in the amount not to exceed $33,000. We need a motion. Bring it to the floor.
Motion, Warren.
Thank you, Warren.
Second,
Ms. Brenda. Thank you, Brenda. Charlotte?
Yes, thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. And if it's okay, I will just cover both Resolution 2336 and 2337 in the agenda statement. So Resolution 2336 is authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with CoreData LLC for software, application, and a website development services in an amount not to exceed $30,000. I apologize. That is a typo, but it is correct in the rest of the agenda statement. And then Resolution 2337 authorizes the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Kingfisher Marine Research, LLC, for specific cod tagging research in an amount not to exceed $309,270. So on May 12, 2022, the Borough Assembly approved Resolution 2240, supporting a proposal to the Pacific States Marine Fisheries Commission Cod Disaster Mitigation RFP to continue the cooperative cod tagging research that we started in 2021 with the existing project team. In January 2023, 6 months past the anticipated award date, which was scheduled to be in August 2022, we received a notice of an award for a little over $2.2 million, which was nearly the full amount requested in the proposal. This award will support a full three-year project with two additional years of expanded fieldwork this year and next year. Several contracts will come before the Assembly for this project. However, due to the delay in the awarding, we're requesting that two contracts be expedited for the upcoming March 2023 fieldwork. Resolution 2336 for Core Data in an amount not to exceed $30,000 will be for software and website development services. Eric Torgerson has been contracted previously on our Pollock and Salmon data portals, as well as the Trolley M project, and has very specific subject matter expertise in software development relating to fisheries data. The scope of work for this project includes two objectives. The first, adapting the Alaska Fisheries Science Center open source specimen app, which is what we use to collect biological specimens, and adapt it to also collect tag release information, which proved to be very difficult and cumbersome with Excel during the last 2 years. And the second objective is developing an interactive outreach website using our data that is linked through our markdown code so that it can be continuously updated by the project team kind of in perpetuity after the website's developed, so we don't need an external contractor to help us maintain the website. Resolution 2337 is for Kingfisher Marine Research, LLC, in an amount not to exceed $309,270. That is for Dr. Julie Nielsen to continue analyzing our tags and assistant fieldwork. Dr. Nielsen developed the geolocation model that we use for these tags and has been participating in this project since its inception. On April 5th, 2022, the Borough contracted Kingfisher for the 2022 work, and these funds will support her continued work for this next three-year project. I'll just note that this is essentially an extension of her previous contract. However, because these are completely separate monies, I think it's appropriate to do a completely separate contract. So she will lead the data analysis, model implementation, and assist with final research projects such as the distribution maps and the peer-reviewed articles, and will also be helping with the March 2023 field work. With that, the Natural Resource Department recommends approval of these two resolutions, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Charlotte. Questions for Charlotte? Paul?
Thank you, Charlotte. During the workshop, you mentioned how the grant was a pass-through and how it worked with the borough. Maybe you could repeat that now that we're on the record, I guess.
I'm so sorry, Paul. Can you please repeat that? I didn't quite catch the first part of your question.
Yes. During the workshop, you mentioned about the money was part of a federal grant, and you also mentioned how it was paying part of your salary. Maybe you could just put that on the record, too. It would be good, I think, because it was just a workshop earlier.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. So for the record, the grant that we're receiving from Pacific States is a no-match grant, and we have allocated some funds to cover a portion of my salary to work on this project because it's so involved, as well as a small portion of Glenora's as well, as she'll be helping with some of the ongoing administration of the grant.
Okay. Other questions or comments?
Yes, I had asked earlier about, you know, when can we start using some of this data to try to get some fisheries back into the Western Gulf for the local communities and fishermen? Can you answer that? Thank you.
Absolutely, Tom. Yeah, thank you for that question. So, I'll just say on record that, you know, I think we're all fairly familiar with the federal fisheries process, and unfortunately, the feds are very thorough and meticulous, but they're also very slow in terms of adopting new management, especially for such a important fishery. So this will be our third year into this project, and we have preliminary results that we've presented to stock assessment authors, and they have started incorporating some of this information into their assessments. However, it's not incorporate it into the model yet, and the model is really what's used to, you know, determine all of the quotas and allocations. And so I think at this point, the stock assessment authors in both the Bering Sea and the Gulf are looking at ways to sort of overhaul the existing management structure of Pacific cod and look at multi-area models, now recognizing that there is significant movement of fish between the Bering Sea and the Western Gulf. So It's going to take a little bit more time because this is a very slow process, and it'll, you know, take a while to change Pacific Cod management, but we're definitely well on our way. So, and I'll have some more formal updates for you guys in the future and at the strategic planning.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. Other questions, comments for Charlotte? Okay. We'll call a question on resolution 2336.
Paul?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Josie? Josie? Warren?
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So I need a motion and a second to bring... Who is that?
This is Josie. The landlines just went down here. GCI must have cut us off. I don't know. We're getting blizzardy weather.
Oh, yeah, we got bright sunshine over here. Okay, so we have resolution 2337 before us, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Kingfisher Marine Research, LLC, for the Pacific Cod tagging research in the amount not to exceed $309,270. We need a motion and a second.
Brenda, make that motion.
Thank you, Brenda.
Second. This is Jim.
Thank you, Jim. Charlotte went through this along with the previous resolution. So are there questions, or does Charlotte, do you have anything to add to it? If not, are there questions for Charlotte on this one?
Nothing to add, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Jim?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Josie? Josie? Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Thank you. So before us, we have resolution 2338, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract amendment with Moffitt and Nichols to extend the scope of work for the Sandpoint Harbor A-Float Design Update Project, amount not to exceed $248,998, and to extend the period of performance to December 31st, 2024. We need a motion and a second.
Motion, Warren.
Thank you, Warren.
Second is Brenda.
Thank you, Brenda. Annie.
Yes, Mayor Osterbach. And so before you, resolution 2338. As you know, the Sandpoint New Harbor Breakwater and Dredging was completed in 2007. A wharf was completed in 2008, and Float B was completed in 2011. The next phase now is to construct Float A. We had a 65% level design completed by URS Alaska / AECOM, and then in 2017 we hired Moffitt and Nichol to do design and permitting efforts to create a project that was bid ready and suitable for seeking funding. In August 2022, the borough entered into a separate contract with Moffitt and Nichol to complete design and permitting updates to bring it in compliance with current codes and permitting requirements. Just recently, the state of Alaska has awarded harbor matching grant funds, and the borough has also received MARAD PID funds for this project. The MARAD grant has numerous grant requirements, which includes but is not limited to letters of funds availability, the National Environmental Policy Act, which is called NEPA, Section 106, Engineering Risk Register, Risk Assessment, Federal Procurement and Grant Agreement Terms Negotiations, just to name a few. Now, the borough will need assistance with numerous aspects of this work, especially the environmental portion of the project. It is anticipated that the NEPA will take approximately 8 to 12 months to complete. The borough requested a proposal from Moffitt and Nichol to amend the existing contract for design updates to include project management, combining the bid documents into a single bid-ready package, design support, which will need to be reviewed by MARAD, NEPA support and permit updates, which will also have to be reviewed by MARAD, and bid support. Moffitt Nichol has provided a proposal in the amount of $248,998 to complete the additional scope of work. Funds for this are available in the Sandpoint Actan float line item, but the borough will also be contacting MARAD to see if this cost or a portion of it can be covered under the MARAD grant funds as a pre-award. We did not go out to bid for this. This is something that we can sole source since it's an engineering firm. So we did not go out to bid. Moffitt and Nichol is very experienced in NEPA, environmental work, and permitting. So administration thought it was appropriate to go ahead with them who is familiar with the project. That being said, administration recommends approval of Resolution 2338. And if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Annie?
Paul? Thank you, Annie. The date on this resolution is December 31st, 2024. Is that changing what we had in mind, or what does that date mean in this resolution?
And I apologize. So, yes, it will extend it to December 31st, 2024. That's when we anticipate to have the NEPA and other aspects of this project completed.
So I guess just following up, what date were we working with before, and what did we have in mind before?
I think it was like, I don't have that in front of me, but it was like June or something like that. So it just extends it further so they can get this work done.
Okay, thank you.
Patty, I think it extended it 6 months, correct?
I think so. I don't remember, yeah. But yeah.
I think that's what it was.
Other comments or questions?
Call a motion on the resolution.
Chris?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you. So I need a motion and a second for Resolution 2339 authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a memorandum of understanding between the Aleutians East Borough and the Aleutians East Borough School District for the Sandpoint K-12 School Major Maintenance Project.
Motion, Warren.
Okay, motion by Jim, second by Warren. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterback in Assembly. So before you is Resolution 2339. The school district received a grant from the State of Alaska Department of Education and Early Development to conduct major maintenance at the Sandpoint School. The borough would like to assume the responsibilities of the grant and be responsible for the project since the borough is responsible for major maintenance projects and is providing the funding. MOU is being drafted establishing the roles and responsibilities of the borough and school district with respect to this project. The project provides renovations at the Sandpoint School and pool, including improving the HVAC system, improving security, replacing the fire alarm, and replacing the intercom system, and it also renovates the pool at facility addition, which includes upgrading restrooms and lockers, replacing metal roof and repair structure as required, reconstructing or repairing exterior walls, replacing supply ventilation, ductwork, and controls, and improving drainage. Foundation work may occur if supported within the budget and after value analysis. The grant is an amount of about $2.9 million. The grant amount is $1.9 million from the state, and the borough is responsible for paying the state of Alaska recipient's participating share for this project in the amount of $1,039,000. An outline of the proposed roles and responsibilities for the borough and the district are included in the packet. One of the first ones that have actually already been done is that the district did email deed stating that the borough will manage the grant, and the state of Alaska accepted that. So the borough will manage the grant. The other ones just outline the roles and responsibilities throughout the project. The school district, the borough, and the state will need to work very closely together on this project. So with that, administration recommends approval of 2339. And if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions or comments, Danny?
Paul? I just have some general comments.
Sure.
Thank you. Appreciate we're able to get some money to keep working on improving the school or getting up to date on what's needed to be done. But I think in a memo earlier, Annie mentioned that the time may be slipping, but I would urge the administration to prioritize getting these school and pool projects done because it's important for the community. Thank you.
Other comments? Okay. Question on the motion?
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Thank you.
And Daly's here, just to let you know.
Okay. Did she vote?
No.
Call her?
No.
Call her.
Daly?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Resolution 2340 is before us, authorizing the reapportionate. Reapportionate of $833,551 from the Kobe Clinic line item E20-220-620-850 to the Sandpoint School line item of E220-660-462. I need a motion and a second, if you understand.
This is Chris. Make a motion.
Thank you, Chris.
This is Brenda. I'll second.
Thanks, Brenda. Annie.
Yes, Mayor. Authorized Assembly. So before you is Resolution 2340. As we just discussed, the school district did receive a grant from the State of Alaska Department of Education Early Development to conduct the major renovations, major maintenance, at the Sandpoint School. The grant is an amount of $2.9 million. The grant amount from the state is approximately $1.9 million, and the borough is responsible for paying the state of Alaska recipient's participating share for this project in the amount of $1,039,000. The borough currently has $403,451 available in the Sandpoint School line item and needs an additional $635,551 to meet the grant's recipient participant share. Administration has reviewed the borough finances and recommends reappropriating $835,551 from the Colbay Clinic line item that currently has a balance of approximately $2.7 million to the Sandpoint School line item. The $835,551 includes the amount needed to meet the participating share plus an additional $200,000 for contingencies because there's always something that comes up along the way that we're not anticipating. Therefore, administration recommends approval of Resolution 23-40. And if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Questions?
Paul? Earlier in a workshop, Annie, you mentioned the effect it may or may not have on the Colbay Clinic. Maybe you could just repeat that. That's all. Thank you.
Yes, Mayor Ostrak and Assemblymember Grunholt, there will be no impact on the clinic.
Thank you.
Other comments? Hearing none. Question on the motion.
Bailey?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, we are down to old business, which is Sandpoint Pool. There's a memo in there for information only. Annie, did you want to touch on this?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck. So that's correct. There is a memorandum here about the Sandpoint School. This has been distributed to Jack Walsh as well, and he will be distributing this to the school board, so everybody has the same information. There is a summary of where we are today, but there are two phases that we are looking at to complete this project. Phase one is to complete the existing scope of work, have the heat exchanger installed, and have some of the doors repaired and or replaced. As outlined in the memo, in July 2022, the borough did enter into contract with Evolution Pools to complete the repairs. The original scope of work was supposed to be completed on September 30th, 2022, but due to numerous complications with material availability, shipping, the need for a new heat exchanger with the doors and getting filters through to you name it, there's been a lot of problems. It still has not been completed. Dow and the borough administration have been continuously meeting with Evolution Pools, and we have determined that the best route will be to just have Evolution Pools complete their existing scope of work, and a separate entity will be hired to install the heat exchanger. Dow has contacted Living Waters for a quote, which since this memo was written, we have received. It'll be about $66,000 for the heat exchanger. We also asked them to give us a quote to complete the school plumbing issues that they're having, which includes urinals, toilets, drinking fountains, and shower valves, which came in about $21,000 plus shipping. So we're looking at about $96,000 for all of the work. We are working with Living Waters now, finalizing a few questions and entering into contract. The next step will be to have Evolution Pools and Living Waters arrive on site together. They'll complete the plumbing work, the heat exchanger work. They'll fix the gutters and the interior of the pool. And then once that's all complete, the pool should be operational. After that, a week or two later, Kukar Construction will come out and complete the doors because those will be taken out so the filters can fit through them, and then they will come back and replace those doors with the suitable size doors to, one, fit the filters through, and also they will be set for salt water, and they will close properly. So that is the plan for phase one. Now, phase two is the additional pool renovations. As I discussed earlier, that the grant from the state of Alaska does include the pool facility addition upgrades. Like I said, it includes upgrading the restrooms and locker rooms, replacing metal roof and repairs structures, reconstructing or repairing the exterior walls. They'll be replacing ventilation ductwork and controls and improving the drainage. And if there's funds available, it could also include foundation work. Now, if the foundation work does not fit within the budget, administration will most likely suggest, based off the engineer's opinion, to conduct the work and request reimbursement from the state later, which we are permitted to do. So the next steps to complete this is to review the draft project agreement, which we received in January. We are in the process of asking the state some clarifying questions because there's some language in there that I need to make sure I understand. And then you just allocated the borough matching funds, so that's done. Thank you for that, Assembly. And then we will draft and execute the MOU between the school district and the borough. The next step then will be to execute the project agreement, and then we will dive into beginning the work for construction. So we are well along our way now of getting this project started. I just also want to state that this is a state grant. There are a lot of requirements that the borough has to meet, including their procurement process, which is more robust than ours. So I don't want to set any false expectations on timing, but we will begin by hiring a project manager, engineering firm, completing the design work, getting cost estimates, doing the permitting, and then we'll begin hiring the construction contractor to complete the work. So this could be anywhere between 6, 12, 18, 24 months. I don't know, but I don't want to set false expectations that those will happen tomorrow. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Question for Annie?
Well, I just wanted to mention, regardless of your memo, Annie, my expectations are still high. That's all. Thank you. I know they are, but we're going to have to follow the guidelines set up by the granting agencies. And we really want to make sure when we do this, we do it right for the safety of the kids, safety of the community to use the facility. So we will follow strict guidelines, but we will get it done. Okay. Under new business, we have an informational item also, the Akun Dock and Breakwater Project White Paper. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck, and Assembly. The white paper is in the packet. This was produced by Laura Tanis. This has a lot of information from the inception of this project. So it's about 10 pages of activity. I look at it, and it just stresses me out. But that being said, a lot of work has been done on this project beginning in 2008 to the present. So this is in here for informational purposes. And this is a living document, so as things occur, it will be updated, and hopefully this will help future generations, future staff, employees, to know where we are and how we got there. So, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Annie. Questions? Okay. Very good. We are down to reports and updates. Annie.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you. So, yes, my report is in the packet. First, I'll start with Sandpoint Harbor Float Project. On January 12th, the borough did receive notice that the state has agreed to a six-month extension to June 30th, 2023, to execute the harbor facility grant. Please keep in mind we've got the harbor facility grant, which is state-funded, and then we've got the MARAD grant, which is a PID grant, which is federally funded. They have conflicting timeframes. So, the federal government trumps the state, so we are working with the state to make sure that everything aligns. So having this extension is the first step, and then we are in the process of getting all the grant requirements met at the federal level so we can get this both granting agencies together and get the project executed. So that's what's occurring there. There's a King Cove Road update. There's really not much more to report. They had the in-bank oral argument in December of 2022. We are still awaiting a decision by the 11-member panel and are hoping for a positive decision. So we have no idea at this point when a decision will be made, but we are hoping that that will occur possibly in April or May. Meanwhile, the first session of the 118th Congress was convened in Washington. Congresswoman Peltola has been appointed to two House committees that are very important to Alaska and the borough, which includes the natural resources, which includes Eisenbeck Refuge jurisdiction, and transportation and infrastructure, which includes the Coast Guard and maritime transportation jurisdiction. Our two senators continue serving on their key committees. Senator Murkowski is on the Senate Energy and Natural Resources, Indian Affairs, Labor, Health, Education, and Pensions. And then Senator Sullivan is on Commerce, Armed Services, Veterans, and Environment, and Public Works Committees. So just a little update there. School updates, the borough has contracted Long to complete the oil inspections in King Cove, False Pass, and Accutan. They have currently, based off from this, they have completed the Accutan inspection, and they also made it out to False Pass yesterday. So those two communities have been met. The only one that still needs to be looked at is King Cove, so they will be scheduling that here soon. Other items, we did issue on January 16th an RFP for auditing services for FY 2023 and FY 2024 with the option for three subsequent fiscal years. We have currently have BDO, and we have already conducted our fifth year, which is crazy. Time has flown. So two addendums have been issued, one on January 25th, and the second one was issued yesterday answering questions from the potential proposers. Community budget requests have been sent out to all the communities in 2018. This community budget request process was created, which provides the communities with an opportunity to request funds for community projects during the borough's budget process. Those were sent on January 16th. But please note that since the borough is in the process of drafting their borough's FY 2024 budget, or we're about to begin that process, it's unclear if there's any funds that will be available for this year. But the requests are due on March 15th, 2023. Cole Bay Clinic, on January 16th, has submitted the revised project-specific budget justification for the HRSA grant, which was the last requirement I had to meet there. I'm still awaiting HRSA's decision. They're very slow. So once I get that, then we'll be taking off further on that project. Dow and ECI are scheduled to go out on site this week to go begin the assessment of the clinic. Paul Mueller with EATS, I believe, will be meeting them there, and so they'll start that process to get this project moving. CAPSIS request was submitted for the Cold Bay dock on January 27th. And then lastly, Mayor Osterbach and I are scheduled to go to Juneau on the 13th on Monday. So we'll be lobbying, in some lobbying efforts then. Lastly, the strategic planning session is on Friday, February 17th from 9 to 5 at the Nave, and I look forward to seeing everybody in person there. So if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay. Talia.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Assembly. My report is in the packet. Annie did a great job with the overview of the Sandpoint School major maintenance project during Resolution 2339 and old business. I just wanted to go into a little bit more detail with everything that is encompassed within this funding that we've received. So I did make a typo in the beginning. I wrote on January 2022. I meant to write 2023, so please forgive me. So, yes, on January 11th, 2023, the borough did receive the project agreement from DEED. The project agreement essentially captures the state's understanding of what we have requested and the scope of work. So funding for the project is at $2,968,577, with the borough's participating share at $1 million. The downside scope of work really focused on four major categories, which was structural, ADA compliance, ventilation, and electrical. Jumping down into the scope of work for the school, they started with improving the HVAC system. They'd like to replace the ventilation equipment, provide exhaust ventilation system, and replace the kitchen ventilation. Exhaust fans in the building will also have minor repairs made to ensure they are operating reliably. And exhaust fans will be added to the janitor and utility rooms to improve indoor air quality. In addition to the old kitchen, exhaust will also be replaced. They also intend on improving the security. I know last assembly, Paul, you did mention the issues with the door during your site visit. So with this funding, they will plan on replacing the door hardware throughout the building to provide lever handlers required to be ADA compliant and to provide access control and lockdown function. They will also be adding an exterior main electrical disconnect. This is something the school was constructed without, and the lack of a single disconnect is a safety issue. The outdated and problematic fire alarm zone will be replaced with a new addressable with system with voice evacuation as required by current code. If funding allows, they also would like to allow better communication between the office and classrooms, which will be integrated with the phone systems to improve versatility. This is with the replacement of the intercom. A significant portion of this project will be going to renovating the pool facility. So that includes but is not limited to upgrading the restrooms and locker rooms. This includes making them ADA compliant and correcting plumbing issue codes with showers. Also, fixtures, finishes, and other work will also be addressed in this work, and the lack of insufficient heat in these places will also be addressed. It will be replacing the metal roof. Structural items include starting with the wood foundation. Water damage will be repaired and proper waterproofing and drainage provided. The exterior walls will also have longstanding water damage issues repaired and proper vapor barrier installed to prevent a recurrence of these issues. Ventilation was a major portion of this funding. Ventilation issues include replacing air handlers serving the pool. These are at the end of their service life and are not providing adequate ventilation per code. This work will be in conjunction with other structural and finish work happening in the area to avoid future disruption of the new work. As Annie stated, the borough can go back to ask regarding the foundation work, because this is something that's very important. And as Annie stated, if that's not fixed, it's kind of pointless. Last but not least, maintenance. Administration has met with the school district superintendent to discuss roles and responsibilities regarding work orders, capital improvement projects, and direction moving forward on completing the work. Administration also continues to meet with Dow and Evolution Pools weekly to discuss steps on finishing the pool work, which I know is very important to the children. We're also working on better communication to make sure that items are completed. We very much care about the schools. We care about the children, and we very much care about heat. If anyone appreciates heat, it's me. So last but not least, I went down and listed the regular meetings attended. As you can see, we spent a lot of time with the Sandpoint Pool discussions overall work on getting this work completed. And that's it. If anyone has any questions, just let me know. Thanks.
Thank you, Talia. Questions for Talia? Okay. Laura.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. My report is in your packet for your review. As discussed earlier, the white paper for the Coon Dock and Breakwater project was finished earlier this month and was approved by administration. It's very detailed, the project history up until the present, and I'm going to continue making updates, as we talked about earlier, to this white paper as the project progresses. I've also finished drafting two press releases that would be ready for when the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals makes its decision on the King Cove land exchange lawsuit, one in case it goes in our favor and the other in case it doesn't. So that is ready to go. There'll probably be some edits back and forth before we get that finalized. Another project this past week and last has been working on inserting photos into a PowerPoint that Annie put together for the strategic planning session on February 17th. And those are photos predominantly from photographer Carrie Tasker. And some were taken by staff that were of specific projects during Assembly to the region. Another project is working on handouts for Mayor Osterbach and Annie during their visit to Juneau next week. These contain information and photos regarding projects such as the Sandpoint Harbor Float A, Pass Airport, Cold Bay Dock, the Acoon Dock and Breakwater, the Acatan Harbor Float Project and the King Cove Access Project, as well as the Sandpoint School. school deed project. Those are mostly finished, just pending some edits that may be needed. And then just a few miscellaneous items. Annie and I discussed starting work on a new white paper on the Sandpoint Harbor Float A project, so that will be in the works soon. And also I'm going to be starting to post photos from Carrie Tasker's photography to Facebook and Instagram this month for those who are interested in seeing the collection of imagery from our communities. So those are some of the highlights. And if you have any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Questions for Laura? I'll make one comment.
Please, not a question.
Go ahead.
Well, this is Sam. I just wanted to let you know that I had gotten busy yesterday, but I plan on heading over there for those pictures as soon as the meeting's over.
Oh, thank you, Sam. I asked Sam if she would be kind enough to take some pictures of the teacher housing facility to include me PowerPoint. So I appreciate it, Sam. Thank you for your help in advance.
Okay. I was just going to make one comment, Laura. So, for the public, as we are doing these white papers on past projects, current projects are still ongoing, and we're updating them. They do show up on our packet each month. But the white papers that we do have, they're public documents. So if folks are interested on any of the projects that we've done the white papers on, they're available. Okay. Ernie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My report is in the packet. I used a couple lines of my Board of Fish to maybe solicit a couple more public comments. Even though the public comment deadline ended on Monday, the packet comes out Friday always. Thank you, Beverly. But it's over now. But I just checked and the public comments are posted. There's 192, over 600 pages and 50 megabytes. So have Starlink if you're going to download it. But I notice a lot of familiar names, so that's a good thing. So that's kind of phase one. We have the public comments in. So now you could technically make comments if you fax them in, but realistically wait until the meeting starts on February 20th around 8:30 or 9, and there will be another link so you can submit RCs, record copies. So we are gearing up for the Board of Fish meeting week after next, and we hope to see most of you there. We can talk about Board of Fish more. I did go to Kodiak last week, and we had a good meeting with people there, staff and board members and fishermen. In addition to comments for this meeting, I'm looking to put in comments on Proposal 161, which is a Board of Fish ground fish management policy, and that would help with the certification or the MSC, because we don't have a management policy for groundfish, we can't get that certification, which is real important in getting the sales of groundfish. The IPHC, halibut, this is kind of a chart down at the bottom of my first page that I include, so I included it again for all the areas, except for down in the lower 48, halibut quotas are down. Actually, this is the total constant exploitable yield, TCEY, which includes for commercial, recreational, subsistence, sport, and discards. So it's all of the things, but it's basically down, the quotas. So that's just there for your information. So the meeting was in Victoria. Next year, the IPHC is meeting in Anchorage. I've never gone to an IPHC except in Anchorage, and it's the 100th anniversary of this meeting. So that's a long-standing meeting, an international meeting. Council started their meeting today. Previously, this week was the SSC and the AP. There's some information on that in my report. And then I talk a little bit about subsistence because the Federal Subsistence Board has been meeting this year and just this week to review some subsistence closures. And there's a little map there for Cold Bay, and they rescinded those subsistence closures. And at our meeting later this month is Proposal 98, which would allow subsistence users to fish in waters close to commercial fishing if you're not a CFEC permit holder. So that's kind of an interesting one we'll take a look at. As far as meetings, I would point out that the ACs, False Pass AC, will be meeting by Zoom on Monday at 1 o'clock. King Cove will be meeting at the Harbor House on the 15th at 10 a.m., and then Nelson Lagoon has another AC meeting on the 15th at 3 p.m. There's other meetings there besides. Also, Swamp Sea, CFEC Commissioner Glenn Height mentioned to me that he's going to be at Swamp Sea, would like to talk about some of the statistics on our permits as they kind of are leaving the area over the years. So that's all I have. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ernie.
Hey, Ernie, I got something for Ernie. This is Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, I'm pretty encouraged by seeing quite a few crab boats sitting out in the bay here waiting to unload to Peter Pan, and listening to them this morning, it sounded like kind of the same thing over in Sand Point. They were pretty happy with the price out this way, and so that was encouraging when it comes to fish tax. I was also hearing them talk about, I guess there's a they were having some trawler meetings down in Seattle. Do you know anything about those meetings or what's being said or done on the trawling side?
Well, Charlotte was recently in Seattle. I mean, the North Pacific Council is meeting in Seattle this week. Besides that, I don't know. But Charlotte's not aware of any in particular. They're always meeting, though. I would say that.
Yeah, it sounded like they were, I don't know if they had some inside information, but listening to them on the radio, it sounded like the trawlers were getting pretty hammered down that way, which made the crabbers a little bit happy. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Thanks.
Paul. Yeah, Ernie, just refresh our memory on, you know, the halibut quotas are down everywhere except, as you mentioned, Washington and Oregon, California, I guess, 2A, which are the same. But refresh our memory on the procedure that routinely goes before the council this week, and then the season opens, I think, March 10th.
Correct.
But, yeah,
the season
but
now
the
ends.
The council still has to prove it, doesn't it?
I'm not sure how it goes before the council necessarily, but it does open March 10th and goes through December. I had something in my brain. Now I completely forgot it. Yeah, I don't have anything for you there, Paul. I had something and I lost it.
Okay. And then because you were mentioning the Board of Fish and everything all at once in Swampsea, and I just wanted to, I think everybody would encourage anybody who's able to go to the Board of Fish meeting 20th to 25th to attend. We're going to need a lot of people there, as I think everybody's mentioned. And then, of course, Swampsea meeting is... And the agenda isn't out yet, I think, for Swampsea, but it's getting finalized. But that's March 2nd and 3rd. But I think anybody who could make both meetings would be great. We always need the big turnouts, as you mentioned. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Other comments? Lots of information. Thank you, Ernie. Kelp Queen, are you there?
Thank you, Mayor Osterback and Assembly. So I'll kind of go through my normal projects. So I'll start with EM. I attended the Trawl EM committee meeting on January 20th and presented on all of our Western Gulf EM-related projects. So because Trawl EM is wrapping up, the committee is going to make a recommendation the council, actually, at this meeting, to roll the Trawl EM committee meeting into the Fisheries Monitoring Advisory Committee, FMAC. So if that is approved, I've been asked to put my name in for a seat on the FMAC. as long as everybody's okay with that. And I can get off at any time, and I think I'll really only stay on to kind of oversee the transition of Trolley M, or if EM starts to transition into bottom trawl, then I probably want to be part of that. So I'm working on a lot of reports for grants right now. I have a report due in March. We had techs make it out to Sandpoint and King Cove doing maintenance on vessels. We also got permission from Peter Pan to install a camera on the sorting line for our EM in the plants project. And we are installing one of our data portal kiosks at Trident in Kodiak because we have several boats that I think will go over and do the Central Gulf pollock. So for the fixed gear project, I don't have any updates at this time. I have more sad news as the kelp queen for mariculture. There have been multiple delays on this project. The first and foremost is the local who we've been working on had some very serious personal issues that he's been communicating to me and was not able to get our broodstock samples to the nursery. So we kind of missed our opportunity there. But it's okay because we also found out that we've been having issues with the Alaska Sea Grant contracting and sorting out their insurance requirements versus our insurance requirements. And then to top that off, we found out that the Sea Grant, the amendment to extend this project has not been finalized, so we actually can't spend any more money yet. So good thing that we didn't try and set up a farm because that would have been bad. So also just some shout-outs. Green Wave is hosting an in-person kelp harvest and market development workshop in Kodiak, April 16th to the 18th. And they're having another workshop for handling and processing April 19th to the 21st. And there are travel stipends available by application. So if anybody's interested in that, you can apply to get funded to go. That's due by February 17th. Registration is also open for the first Mariculture Conference of Alaska, which will host the Mariculture Alliance, which is kind of a newly formed group for all the stakeholders. And I believe that's February 17th to the 19th. So most people probably won't want to go since we'll be at Board of Fish. Speaking of Board of Fish, I've had lots and lots of meetings with the fleet and our contractor on the salmon portal. And I'm very happy to announce that we have a fully functional portal. I included a little screenshot in there for you. I know it's very small, but I don't want to advertise it too much. But the fleet is really happy with how it turned out, and we've already started talking to people and board members and the department about the portal and the program, and I think everybody is very impressed with what the fleet is doing. Also, I'll just put a plug in. As you all know, Fish and Game went out in 2022 to do the South Peninsula Chum Salmon Genetics Project. I have linked the report, which is now published, so you can click on it and look at it in detail. It's very long, so I'm not going to go in too much, but I'll say that the results are generally positive and kind of what we were expecting to see, which is that the coastal Western Alaska contributions to stock comps are lower than during the loss of years, and the Asia reporting group pretty much dominated the June fisheries, which we kind of thought would happen. Last but not least, the cod tagging project. As I mentioned before, we got the $2.2 million grant for the next 3 years, which I'm very proud of, and the team, and Glenora, who's going to help me, and she's been so willing, so thank you. Working on those two contracts, I'm prepping for field work, which will basically take place March 10th through the 31st. It's a 14-day charter that spans Sanac all the way to east of Kodiak. We'll be releasing 54 satellite tags, probably around 2,000 conventional tags and lots of biological samples, as well as genetics. So our project, just so you know, contributes to many other projects that other people are working on that we're contributing samples to. So like the genetics and blood stress sampling work and antifreeze compounds in their blood. I mean, lots and lots of stuff is going on that we're helping with. Also, I was in Seattle for the first day of the SSC, where we presented a couple of slides on our cod tagging work, and Bob Foy, the director of AFSC, did say that three of our cod satellite tags told him more about cod behavior than the last 20 years of research. So I take that as a win. And with I think that's it for my report, and I'll take any questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Charlotte. Questions from the assembly? Paul?
Yes, thanks. Charlotte, at the bottom of the journey, your report, the mention of the cod tagging project, you mentioned 14 days and 54 satellite tags. So that's four per day, or are there other things going on at the same time, or maybe just quick summary on what that means?
Yeah, absolutely, Assemblymember Gronholm, great question. So we basically do 1 to 2 sites per day, depending on how close they are to each other. And we have 10 sites that we've mapped out basically across the Gulf. So at every site, we drop 5 different pots, and we let them soak for a couple hours. And so from each pot, we satellite tag 4 to 5 fish. We pull 6 random samples for biologicals. And then the rest of them we release with conventional tags. So we do that for 5 to 6 different pots every day, and then we have to calculate in steam time between areas, which I'm sure, as you know, is pretty far to get from Sanak to east of Kodiak, kind of below Prince William Sound. So 14 days is our max, but we anticipate if we have decent weather, we can get a lot of that done in shorter time. So I hope that answers your question.
And then just one additional question is, which boat is involved in this tagging study?
Yeah, so last year we established an ongoing contract with the FD Decision. We went out to bid, and we only received one application. So we do have this contract basically for the duration of this project, unless for some reason the contracted vessel can't do it, and then it would default to the next person who put in a bid, which is no one, so we'd have to go out to bid again. So the decision.
Okay. Other questions? Okay. I see one part missing, like, with all this cod, you guys must have, like, a taste test, too, like, which area the better cod are in? Or
I can neither confirm nor deny if we do that.
Okay, so that is the end of the report. I see our finance director in that report here, so that's okay this time. I thank everybody, all of the staff, for all the hard work they do, and the reports are great. A lot of work getting done. Appreciate it. So we are down to assembly comments.
I mentioned earlier in Ernie's report about Swampsea, but part of that, too, there's an auction, and there's always people who donate items that kind of remind people at Swampsea Conference about how important each area is to the region. And if people have anything they are willing to donate to the Swampsea auction, please get a hold of Swampsea, I suppose, and let Shirley's still there. I think there's a couple applicants that may be interviewed pretty soon, either between now and the meeting. She's retiring, but she will be in charge of this meeting, and I just thought I'd mention that. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Paul. Other?
Hey, Mr. Mayor. Chris, I got a question.
Go ahead.
And I'll direct it at Ernie. I've had some people ask me, and I haven't seen it on their website yet, do you know when the ferry schedule for the summer is coming out for the Aleutians?
I'm not aware, although I thought it already came out for public comment. I don't have it in front of me. There was a public comment period, and I think that might have already passed. But I think it's out.
Okay, yeah, I thought it usually came out around February, but I checked about a week ago, and I didn't see anything yet, so I just was wondering if maybe you had heard something. So.
Well, it was a draft schedule for public comment, so, yeah. And I think that public comment period is over.
Both have 5 ferries?
Yeah, I think I saw somewhere where the proposed schedule is 5 ferries starting in May, once a month, I suppose.
Yeah, Marco.
So did it kind of look like the same as last year then, Paul?
I believe so, but I'd have to review it. I don't know if they changed anything. Very difficult to find out. As you say, it takes a little digging to find it. So.
Other comments? Okay. Thanks, everybody. Public comment. No? Okay, then. Next meeting date is March 9th, 2023, tentatively in King Cole. So, if there's nothing else before us, a motion to adjourn is in order.
Motion, Warren.
Stay here. Okay. Thank you, Warren. Appreciate it, everyone.
The chairperson has disconnected. The conference will now end.